Okay, we're coming to the end of Perek Dalet, which hopefully we'll finish this evening. The last mission of Perek Dalet, we had a number of expressions of Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor regarding a person's ultimate purpose to come to a Din V'Cheshbon before the Rabbi Nishalayim. The last few pieces, the piece begins, Va'omar Lidun Leidah Lahidia. Last piece before that was the Olam Habriya and the Yetzirah, which we spoke about. Va'omar Lidun Leidah Lahidia. Here he has three pieces, each a short touches on Yisayid, which he talks about elsewhere in bigger and greater, at greater length. Here he says, "Om alidun leido laidia ratzalaimiki." Hashem nasa nishama ba'adam, nishama mimal ve'ena nikeres. A human being has a nishama, which you can't see in a person. There's nothing physical about a nishama. Rakim on urayim tzadik ola b'malas gavayim al gavaya. If you observe a tzaddik who rises in madrega, aimrim einze ki imruach Hashem asheichim b'seichai. Then you get a sense that this man has Ruach Hashem b'seichai. You get a sense of a neshama. You see someone who you can see is elevated, so then you get a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach, so that's in this world where the neshama is not seen. Ach la'asid, az gam ha'guf yizdachich. La'asid lavai, the body will be purified. V'yanikar la'ein kol chelak Hashem ba'adam. And somehow it'll be visible in the human being the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a person. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says, V'ra'u kol basa yachtav kipi Hashem diber. Physical human beings will be able to see the Word of God. So he explains that that's the idea. L'asad lavi lo b'nika zeo lidayin k'day shi'edu k'cheluk ruach Hashem hu ba'adam. V'yoytzer ha'guf v'bayir nefashis me'abriya yesh me'ayin v'chochma me'ayin timotzei. So the idea is that we sense that in every human being there's a neshama, but we can't see it. And since we can't see it, a person can somehow ignore the fact. Lasid lavai, it'll be observable. Now there's an interesting contradiction as to where the neshama exists in a human being. We have the expression, it's not only in the Siddur, it's actually in the Shulchan Aruch, that the neshama, by tefillin, it says, shaneshama b'mayichi. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, we put the tefillin k'neged ha-mayach. Shaneshama b'mayichi, the neshama is in the brain. So that's one of the divrei chazal, that the neshama resides in the brain, and Ruach Chaim V'Lajna and Nefesh HaChaim explains that that's the highest part of a person, and it's closest to heaven, so to speak, that's where the neshama is. Elsewhere, the Gemara says, the neshama is molei kalaguf. It says, just like Hashem is malei kol ha'aylam, the neshama is malei kol ha'guf. So the way the Ramban explains this is that the neshama, there are really two parts to the neshama that are explainable in a person. One is the life force of a person. A person is alive. A person dies, what changes? Every bit of his body, all the flesh and bone has remained the same. It's just no longer alive. It's no longer functioning. That ruach chayim is called neshama. And that is molei kol ha'guf. That's all, the whole body is alive, hopefully. Some people, only the brain is not alive. The whole body is alive, so that's neshama. The other part of the person that we call a neshama is the intellect of a person. The ability of a person to think in ways that no other creature in the world can think. And the life force is something other creatures have as well. The ability to reason, to think, to recognize the Barei Olam, that's unique to a person. That's also called the neshama, and that's how neshama shebemaychi. That's what we say, the neshama is in the mayach. So that there are parts to the neshama, the life force of a person, and the intellect of a person. A person's,
when it says in the pasuk, vayipach ba'apa of ruach nishmas, isn't that kind of a raya that it's really that first part that you described?
Well, it's certainly true that there's nishmas chayim in a person. Nishmas chayim. However, animals also have a ruach chayim. So human beings are alive and animals are alive, but it's a different alive. The Zayar's Lashon is man de nafach midine nafach. Somebody who blows from his own. So to speak, God, kaviyachos, breathed from his own life force, kaviyachol, into human being, which animals also are alive, but it's a different alive that a person has. So a person has the ability to be a tzelem alakim. Tzelem alakim is not a physical form, but a sense of godliness in a person. So that thing is something which we know. You see a person, you see he's alive, you see he thinks, but there's nothing you can put your finger on and say this is his thought, his thinking ability, or this is his life force. You could say it's in the brain or it's in the heart, but you can't see it. And that is laid out the idea. Lasid lava, it'll be known, it'll be let known, that that's the, to a great degree, the essence of a person. I remember once Rabbi Miller making a very dramatic presentation about the fact that the neshama senses Hashem in the Bria. He talked about people looking at a sunset with awe, or looking at a great mountain with awe, or a waterfall, a tremendous waterfall. What exactly are they staring at? What exactly are people looking at? There's a certain majesty in creation which testifies to a creator. And a person has that ability to sense it, even though you can't put your finger on it. What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you're seeing? People have been to the Grand Canyon, have told me, you have to go. You have to see it. It's amazing. Say, what's so amazing? It's a big hole in the ground. I say, no, it's amazing. Now, if human beings would make a big hole in the ground, it wouldn't be so amazing. But when it's a natural part of the Bria, it somehow, you've been to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah,
but how long could you stare at it already? Like
a day and a half,
you could stare at it. Wow, amazing. Okay, I told him that when I look above a mitzvah, I see it's amazing. You know, it's much more amazing to look above a mitzvah than to look at the Grand Canyon. Yeah, both together. Okay, good answer. Here he touches on a totally different topic. It says in God's court, there's no bribery. Now, what would you bribe God with exactly? So he explains. K'maisha pirish habar tenura, she'ein loy keach mitzvah u'menaka al aveira. Now this is a concept that goes back to the Ga'inim. Sadia Ga'in in his Muna Betachin talks about this question. The question is, how does it work on the Yom HaDin? When, on the Yom HaDin, we picture a scale. A person has oogles and oogles of mitzvahs on one side, and they come in, they put a couple of aveiros on the other side. That's what happens, hopefully, to all of us. And the mitzvahs weigh more than the aveiros. The question is, what happens then? Let's say a person has 36 trillion mitzvahs, and he has six aveiros. So what happens? He tells God, listen, God, take six of my trillions of mitzvahs, cancel out the aveiros, and I'll take the schar for the rest of my mitzvahs. Does it work that way? Does it work? No, it doesn't work that way. The aveiros you got to pay for, however they pay upstairs, and the mitzvahs you get schar for. So then the question is whether there's such an idea as a person canceling out. If you think about a scale, it sounds like it cancels out. It sounds like the mitzvahs outweigh the aveiros, and you work with the difference in the balance. So he says it's not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take shaychad, she'ein lo keach mitzvah u'menaka al aveira. It doesn't work that a mitzvah knocks off an aveira, hatam. She'hamitzvahs nasu b'siyua me'es Hashem. It's a very interesting reason. It says every mitzvah happens with the siyua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, siyata d'shmaya, okay, me'im enak al aveira sh'asa me'atzmai. Therefore, it can't knock off a mitzvah, which a person did all by himself. So, I don't know. It leaves it open to a lot of question. Like, so maybe six mitzvahs should equal an aveira, or you're even going to say, because every aveira makes a reishim, it has to be paid for. I would understand. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, so an aveira is worse than a mitzvah is good. And it doesn't cancel out.
Besides a Roshan, if you hold an Aveira as an imperfection in the Neshama, you want to return the Neshama the same way you got it, then the mitzvah can't come.
Okay. If it's a stain, you have to cleanse the stain. Okay, good. Okay, his third thought, Shal Karchachata Deitzer, you're created against your will. Ki HaNeshama Eina Reitzer Leirid L'Guf Ashaba Ilam HaShekar Hazeh. The Neshama is not interested in coming to this world. min oilam kadosh elyon loilam shafel, from a holy elevated world to a low world. Al shiflas ha'olam kivnu chazal b'nusach ha'kadosh, and on the lowliness of this world, Chazal had in mind when they formulated the language of kadosh. Ba'olma divra chirusei. Right, we say in kadosh that this world is called the world divra, which he created chirusei, like he desired. Hashem created this world as he desired. What is that idea? When a woman says shasani keretzayde, it's a sort of a siddukadin. Even though she came to this world and doesn't have all the mitzvahs, a woman unfortunately can't be mekayim. Not as a mitzvah v'aisa, many mitzvahs in the Torah. So she's mekabel. She accepts that fact with shabrocha shasani keretzayde. So too. Kirit Sinai means like his will. Ba'alma divroch Yerusei. The world Hashem created has his will, that even though this is a lower world than the upstairs world, nevertheless, the idea is that, that it goes on, so nevertheless, when Matikas Hadin, Hashem created Yerusei. Now, here in the note, he brings that this is a dispute as to how to touch the Kaddish. We say, Yiskadel v'yiskadesh mei Rabbah. May God's name be exalted and uplifted, his holy name. Ba'olma divra chirusei. Now he's translating the world which he created according to his will. Now those who touch that chirusei goes back on Yiskadel v'yiskadesh. Yiskadel v'yiskadesh mei Shmei Rabbah ba'olma divra. Shem's name should be exalted in the world in which created. Kiru say, as is his desire. Where do we come to say, Yiskadel, Yiskadel, Shmei Rabba? As is his desire. Hashem has kaviyachal desire for human beings to express their kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is an explanation. And it mirrors what we say when we take out the Sefer Torah, Al-Kein Yiskadel, Yiskadel, Shmai Kiritzaina Yuktsan Kal Yureyev. The same idea that we say there. So this is brought here in the name of the Gra, this translation. When I said Kaddish, when my father passed away years ago, it bothered me that we say La'ela Mikol Berchasa Vishirasa Tushbachasa Vanechamasa. Say God is higher than all the brachais, all the blessings that we understand. That blessing barely touches his essence. We call Birchasa, Vishirasa, and all the songs we sing in praise of God. God is higher than that. Shirasa, Tushbachasa, all the Yishtabach, all the praises of God. God is higher than that. Vinechemasa, that bothered me. Nechemasa is consolation, to console. God is higher than the blessings, the songs, and the praise, I understand. But he's greater than consolation. Where do we console God? So I got to understand that. I think in the Aruch HaShulchan, if I'm not mistaken, he said that, what does it mean? It means God is greater than all of the nevuahs that the Nevi'im said about him. Some of God's nevuahs come in the form of Berchasa, some Atushbachasa, some Ashirasa, and some Nechemasa. It's a reference to the description of God in Tanakh, which comes in messages of a Navi, which might be a blessing or a praise or a message of consolation. So that's the idea that Kaviyachol God is greater than the image even which we get by the Nevi'im. So with this we conclude Perek Daled. Let's at least start Perek Hey. Perek Hey is the numbers Perek. Like I can never remember which Perek anything is in Perek Hey Avos. But anything that starts with a number, you go to Perek Hey. Right? 10 of this and 4 of that, 3 of the other. All the number things are here. And it starts, of course, with creation. Basar mamaris nivra ha'ilam. I'll tell you a nice part on basar mamaris nivra ha'ilam. Rav Huttner writes that the custom to give meiser to tzedakah, that a person takes from what he gets and he gives a tenth to others, which seems to be almost a universal thing. There are other it's not just in Yiddishkeit, but in other places, there's an idea of giving a tenth. When Hashem created the world with 10 mamarais, Kaviyachol, God kept for himself 9 and gave 1 away. As if to say that the first 9 steps of creation are totally controlled by God. God controls the sun and the moon and the light and the darkness, etc. And in his 10th creation, he created man. And he gave man the ability to choose. Rosh Hashanah gave man the ability to have free will and to be able to make choices on his own. So that, in the Maaseh Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, gave away a 10th. And we, all our mitzvahs are to emulate the Rabbi Nishalom. So we too, in whatever work we do, we give away a 10th of what we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is an expression, Roitza Adam Bikaf Shaloi Metisha Kabin Shal Chaveray. Person would rather have 1 measure of something that's his than 9 measures of someone else's. So that expression, I mean, it's an expression that's meant it's a proverb. It gives a message, but the expression uses this idea that in creation, a person has kav shalai and tisha kav shalaver. 9 mamorim that Hashem said are kaviyachol gods, and 1 he gave to man, right? So under the kav shalai, a person gets the 1 mimer, the mimer of creating man. I've often recounted that when I worked at Art Scroll back almost 20 years ago, the Gemaris, one of the ladies was working on Pirkei Avos. And she came into where we were sitting. I mean, the Art Scroll office is like a kollel, you know, everyone's sitting there learning, trying to figure things out. I mean, there's a place where they count the money also, but where I was, they weren't counting money, they were learning. So the lady comes in and she says, "I have a problem. The Gemara Mishnah says, Asar Mamaris never, I can only come up with 9. I haven't found 9. So, of course, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, there are only 9 Vayomers. It says, Bereishis Nami Maimerhu. So I said to this lady, Mrs. Dick, Mrs. Dick is the only lady I know of in contemporary society who made a CMA Shas. Her job was to proofread the Shas so that if there's something the authors of Talmidei Chachamim, they might have taken for granted that people know a certain term. So her job was to read it and catch those things. So Mrs. Dick made a siyum on Shas when she finished the last Art Scroll Shas. Anyway, so Mrs. Dick comes in and she says, "I only found 9 mamarim, not 10. So as I said, the Gemara is the kash. I told her, the Gemara is the kash. The 10th is Bereishis. So she says, "I know that Gemara. Counting Bereishis, I only found 8 more." I said, "Really?" So we looked through, it says Vayomer many times, but your Vayomers of creation, there are only 8. And we saw that the question is asked, the Torah Tumima, I think the first piece in the Sefer asked the question. And he says that in the account of creation, there are only 8 plus Bereishis, which is 9. And the 10th Vayomer is the creation of Chava from Adam. Chava was created from Adam, and that's the 10th Vayomer. I was thinking that, obviously, Rav Huttner didn't go with that, because Rav Huttner says the creation of man is 1 out of 10. According to this, it's 2 out of 10. 8 Vayomers, and then Adam and then Chava. 2 out of 10. So I don't know, maybe I think there are other Terutzim on the count. Okay, be that as it may, I guess we'll get into Rav Chaim Volozhin's take on Asar Mamaras Nivra Ha'ilam, God willing, tomorrow night.